Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just pulled a Kobe versus the Suns. You remember that incredible playoff game?
Unbelievable,
it's a game
dude.
Game 7 where Kobe's so disgusted, he chooses not to shoot the ball in the second half.
Unbelievable, man.
It was unbelievable.
And it was a game 7. Takes pouting to a whole new level.
My God, does it. All right, let's go to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, what's happening, pal?
You're happening.
I'm happening. We're all happening. What's going on?
Was that a compliment, Steve, or was that a cut?
That was a compliment.
Thank you, sir. Beat the hammer in about 45 minutes, Steve. You know what's about to go down.
I know, baby. I'm ready. Listen.
Thank you.
Did you just call him baby, like, in an endearing way? Because that was weird.
Did you say the Mets or the Dodgers have walked 31 times in your last update?
It is a record in the first four games of a postseason ever.
Wow, you're really ripping my heart out more with you. Oh, Jesus. But listen, Alan Boehm, listen, no testicular fortitude. He has to go. Get him out of here. We're going to end up signing this guy to a multi-billion-dollar contract, and we're going to be stuck with him for 10 years and forget about it. He has to hit the roads.
I disagree with you, Steve, but we'll find out.
Joe, I'm kind of with you on this because the telling part of that Rob Thompson is I'm going to stay in touch with him, text him, call him all the time. Like, they feel like that he maybe be able to be fixed if they keep their arms around him. That was just to say that I'm going to stay in touch with this guy basically 24/7 was just really interesting.
Steve,
don't you think that's right, what good, you good. Have to
hey,
say to some degree?
We'll put some Bomb X and a little baby powder, extra baby powder on him when he changes his diaper.
You have to say you're going to keep him in your program and involved and talking to him every day in order to unload him somewhere else. This is a very valuable young player, and think about where he stood halfway through the season when thought he was going to set new records. We thought he was going to have 140 RBI this season.
Well, about that, but yeah.
All right. That's exaggeration, but that's where it was headed.
Yeah.
Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Speaking about records, have we started planning the party for 300 yet, Hammer?
Oh, it's coming up. Beat the Hammer.
Garage,
so when would that
beer?
Be?
How about a sponsor, Garage Beer? What do you think?
I mean,
We already have a sponsor.
What number are you on?
No, we're not planning a special event.
We have what, like 40 plus wins to go?
Yeah.
What number are we on? The
263.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And we do have a sponsor. It's First Trust Bank.
I think you're jumping the gun,
Maybe we'll give
Steve.
Everybody $1 million. Maybe First Trust Bank.
Oh, I think that's a good idea. I'm in that.
Doable. They're going to be thrilled with you, Joe.
I know they will. All right, Steve, give me an answer. What is irritating?
So, you know, Joe, this is the story. Real fast.
What?
They keep calling. They keep hating on the Hammer. If they hate so much, that means they love you. Stop hating on the Hammer, okay?
I'm writing it down. Hammer haters are irritating. All right, Stevie.
That's definitely not a winning answer.
Steve really laid it on thick, man.
Let's go to Derek in Paoli. Derek, how you been?
Man, he was pandering more than Bryce Harper does.
Yeah.
Well done.
Wow. Yeah, listen, this is my thing with the whole Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore thing, right? It looks like they're trying to adjust to each other. But my whole thing is, why would the Eagles bring in Kellen Moore if they know the kind of offense he's looking to run if Jalen Hurts never ran it and there's questions about him running it? And then with Kellen Moore, if he's trying to get a head coaching job or another job, like, he's looking bad right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, he's not looking good, but I think it's a lot more about the quarterback than the coordinator.
But that's my whole thing, though. When you keep saying it's the quarterback, though, why would the Eagles bring in a coordinator like Kellen Moore?
Because they were trying to get Jalen to evolve. I mean, what they might find out is maybe he can evolve, but that was the attempt. I mean, it's a smart attempt. Derek, look, if you're just doing the same thing over and over again and the league's adjusting to it and you're not as effective, you better evolve.
Bro, so how many quarterbacks evolved in six games, and then three of them without his number one weapon. You understand what I'm saying? So the
that's a reasonable point. It's early in the process.
It is absolutely early, and he is our quarterback. Like, he's growing. Get used to it, but it's okay for him to not be perfect. Right, because he's a young player who we're watching develop.
I wish these coaches were doing a better job of developing
this quarterback.
Hold on, Derek, hang on. Let's go back to the summer. Let's talk about training camp in August. Wouldn't you consider it incredibly disappointing in the middle of October if I told you back in August that Jalen Hurts is only under centers when it's not a quarterback sneak 4% of the time? I mean, come on.
Would I?
Yeah.
Nah, because listen, Joe. You've said on this show plenty of times, like, you don't watch a lot of football other than the Eagles, right?
No, I typically do. I'm watching less this year because I've been so, like, when 4 o'clock hits, it's like I got to turn the TV off.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it's like I need to step away.
Really?
Yeah, I have not enjoyed the large.
Oh my God! The Sundays where we're at London, I start at 9 in the morning and I fall asleep at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
No,
this year, beautiful.
I mean, believe me, Derek, I typically watch a ton of football. This year, I've watched less.
It's just more interesting football that I'm seeing elsewhere.
I mean, Derek, let me put it this way: there are a lot of times where, like, I'll get charged up to, like, let's see the Cowboys lose, let's see Washington lose. Like, this year, I don't get as much joy out of that.
You didn't enjoy 47-9?
But when my team just lost, like, it doesn't matter that much if Dallas. Like, I hear you. Like, yes, I do enjoy it. But my point is I don't enjoy it as much.
Yesterday
you was talking about you got a Darth Vader suit hanging up in your closet, right?
It's right next to my television, my mini Darth Vader, right next to the TV.
That's why I'm kind of surprised, like, how dominant you be in a hammer, because you do seem kind of dorkish to know a lot about sports, man.
Well, I mean, okay.
He seems kind of dorkish. Seriously?
Very.
Well, Derek, there was this girl in college that my buddies called Hot Dork. And so I guess I'd be, what would I be? Yeah, Hot Dork.
Also, do you think that you are Hot Dork?
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not Hot Dork. What would I be? Sports Dork?
Derek acts like there aren't millions of sports dorks out there.
I know, right?
I mean, like, Mike Greenberg hosts the morning show on ESPN television. It's like Mike Greenberg, all right? Like,
come on. Derek, give me an answer. What's irritating?
You know, other than you calling me a dork.
Yo,
When people put you in a group message, man, and the people just keep going back.
Yeah.
100%.
That is a great answer. Dude, I woke up to 182 text messages this morning because of that.
No.
I'm not even kidding.
That's a great answer. Group text messages that you don't want.
Yeah.
That's a really
outstanding.
That could win.
And you're right. There was an alarm clock in this one, too.
Yeah, there is. So I just got a little confused. I co-mingled them. sing it, Seltzer.
Not again.
Devin, you got this in you?
I don't think I know all the words.
Daydream believer and a homecoming queen.
That's all I got.
I don't know the next words, but I do know this about the birds. Jalen Hurts is supposed to be a lot better than Daniel Jones.
So I'm serious.
Like, my thing about this game is I'm cautiously optimistic, with more caution than optimism, but I net out cautiously optimistic. Like, I know the Eagles should win the game, and the primary reason they should win the game is because Jalen Hurts is supposed to be a lot better than Daniel Jones, so go do it. Go show it. 215-592-9494. All right, so heaviest today on the football and the Eagles and the whole deal, Eagles, Giants, all that. But we also have there was some Stephen A. Smith audio yesterday, which harkens us back to one of the more ridiculous things that has ever happened on the history of our show. And so we're going to give you a 1-2 punch of audio. You'll know what number two is going to be coming up in a moment here. First, let's start with number one. Let's start yesterday with Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith, if you're at a friend's house and clogged the toilet and there's no plunger, what do you do? Very, very simple. You close the toilet bowl. You call your friend and say, your damn toilet's clogged. I'm very, very sorry that I got up in there, but you didn't tell me your toilet was going to clog. Do you have a plunger? If not, I suggest you go get one, because I didn't know I was going to clog the damn thing. I didn't know your toilet was going to work. My bad. But that's what happened. Okay? You ain't got no choice. What if you sit up there and just leave, and then they come into their house and they see you clog their toilet, and you never told them? That's very rude. That's very rude, and it's very nasty, and you don't want to be responsible for something like that, okay? So I would tell you that, all right? Okay? But that's it. That's where I'm going with that.
That's awesome.
I love
my
that.
Bad.
So what does that mean?
I love how he blames
what
it
are
on
we
the
getting
friend.
To?
He's like, you didn't tell me the toilet was going to clog.
Yeah, it's the friend's fault.
Why is he blaming the toilet
your
owner?
Your turn to clog. It's not my fault.
I don't know what he told us. What did he just explain?
I don't know.
If you don't have a plunger in your bathroom, it's your fault.
Yeah, well, and apparently
be a responsible.
It's your fault if Stephen A. clogs your toilet.
That's what he said.
That's what we just learned.
Yes.
It's your fault if Stephen A. clogs your toilet.
I was mesmerized by that audio in a lot of different ways.
I'm with Stephen
you
on
didn't,
that
You
one.
Didn't submit that question? It wasn't yours?
With Fred Barnett? Oh, no, was that no, that question was not mine. All right, so that's clip number one. Now let's get to number two.
Oh, of course. That makes perfect sense. Number two.
Let's get to one of the classic moments in the history of our show. This was about a year and a half ago. I had visited Fred Barnett. He then calls into our show to recount this story. It'll never get old, man.
I think she clogged the toilet.
It'll never get old.
What a move.
Passing the buck.
Guys, I passed a lie detector.
How old was
she?
She
was about six.
Six-year-old child.
My daughter is six. It's like you're blaming my daughter for clogging the toilet.
Seems almost impossible for a six-year-old.
Well, that's why I was so stunned.
You're right. The volume
is not
from
there.
A six-year-old.
It was
just not enough.
It was...
I will say,
remarkable.
You can get some surprising volume from six-year-olds. Let me just throw that out there.
All right, let's go to the phone. James, how old is your daughter now?
She's actually going to be six in a month, a little over a month.
Good
so
for
she's
you, man.
Almost
is she
six.
Getting into the Philadelphia sports scene?
She is, yeah. She's like ancillary into it. Like, she likes to root for the teams, but can't lock in on the games yet.
Okay.
Totally.
Yep.
But she loves to like wear the colors. She loves to yell Schwarbaum when Schwarber hits one. Yep. She loves to yell, go Phillies, go Birds. So
okay. We're
getting there.
Love it. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. John in Allentown. John, good morning.
Hammer.
John A.
You are no AI. But let me tell you all something. AI is no hammer.
Ooh, okay. Well, neither one
what
of
does
us.
That mean?
Neither one of us is all swollen up, so we got that in common.
I'll take the hammer in a trivia contest against AI any day.
Well,
I agree with that.
All right. So. I mean, that is fair. But I'll take AI and everything else.
It depends what kind of trivia, too.
Well, here's what I'd say. If Seltzer's ever really on his game as a producer,
ever,
he'll get Allen Iverson in studio with us someday for a AI versus the Hammer 0-1 Sixers trivia.
Oh, you I'm are sure aware he would be down
Joe
for that.
Yeah.
Joe, you are aware of our hours, correct?
I am. But,
6 to 10 a.m.
But he may still be awake.
Yes.
I don't think he would think to challenge you. I think that he would think you know more than he does.
Like, John, I know that Jumaine Jones started for the 76ers when George Lynch got hurt as a small forward in the NBA Finals. But does Allen Iverson remember that? You know? By the way, it's still unbelievable. The Sixers had Jumaine Jones.
I know.
It was look. They would have lost anyway, I think. Yeah. But with George Lynch's injury,
it was a tough end. That one. Is that ankle or foot?
Something down there. Yeah. And then Eric Snow's injury. Like it added up. And then by the way, Geiger. Like I know they wanted him to play through more, and he probably should have. But that injury also hurt. So you were down three guys.
Geiger was when he first got here.
I know.
Wasn't there? They were on like a there was a work stoppage.
Yeah,
and
99.
He said, oh, yeah, no, I didn't work out at all during that. And
I don't
was
remember
like,
that.
Yeah, but, that's
But he was a
good.
Good player in 99, and he just slowly just started going backwards. But, you know, I remember, like, when he ripped the ball out of Chuck Daly's hands in that playoff game in 99, that was awesome. Like, he was like, give me the ball and let's roll. And, he started good, but anyway. All right, John, what do you got on the Birds?
I have a question for Richie.
Shoot.
You said the Eagles are definitely a better team than the Giants. What makes you say that?
Their roster has better players. I love our offensive roster, especially. The talent is it's magnificent, really. I mean, Dallas Goedert being out for this game, that does hurt our bottom line, but we've got Man, Grant Calcaterra showed us a lot of explosiveness. I just feel like the skill guys are better. Malik Nabers is an incredible player for the Giants, but he's about all they have, you know, at our level in terms of elite skill players.
John, here's my opinion on that. The Giants have a way better defense, way better. Way better special teams. And they have a better quarterback.
Wow.
That's where I'm at.
So I'm not there yet, John, but I'll tell you, I think the gap has closed between Hurts and Daniel Jones, and that's not good.
What are you talking about? That's crazy.
Here's what I think of when I really compared it to. If you took Daniel Jones and you plopped him on the Eagles with all those weapons and that line, and the way he can throw the ball, I mean, he's been on the worst team. And
yeah, but he kind of stinks himself. Let's not act like he's actually good, though. He's part of why they haven't been good. John, give me a great answer. What is irritating?
All right. I eat cereal about once a month, okay? And I go...
I thought you were about to do a Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. Dude, I eat breakfast. 300 yards.
I get the box down off the refrigerator, and you shake it, and there's just crumbs in the box.
Yeah. Well, that was Omar's point in The Wire.
Yeah, throw it out and, you know, let him know that you got to go get more.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
I don't understand what happened to his cereal. So he's saying he hates
when someone else puts it back and it's empty, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah, like notify the house that we're out of this and then it can be
bought.
It
does feel like that happens way too often.
Way too often.
Oh, with teenagers? All the time.
There's a millimeter of milk left in the bottom.
That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah,
not enough left. All right, speaking of answers, Dave Dombrowski gave a bunch of answers a couple days ago. And one of the more notable ones was on the concept of getting a star player this offseason or not. Let's listen to what he said. This is actually some audio we haven't played on our show. There was so much audio, we just couldn't get to all of it the first two shows after he talked. So let's get to this one. This was a big one on his mindset. Here's Dave Dombrowski the other day.
Do you think it's a necessity to acquire a star player this offseason to get you over the top? And regardless, are there paths to do it, either through trade capital or other moves you can make to maybe get yourself in the running for a star player?
Right. Well, I don't think we need to add more star players. We have as many stars as about anybody in baseball. So I don't think necessarily that... you need to add more, and I think you have to be a little concerned. John is very accommodating and giving, but you're also in a position where you're still working with a payroll and trying to make things work for you and go into the future what you have. And, would you be open to it? Yes, but I think you have to be careful because sometimes it's not only the star players, it's also sometimes the supporting cast. And when you look at it, we had 8 all-stars, right? And they're not all veteran guys, but that's more than anybody in baseball. We have, when you look at our starting rotation, I don't know that of the top 4, there's a better starting rotation in baseball. When you look at some of the positional players, they're really good. So I don't necessarily think that the answer is always a star player. I'm not saying we won't get one, but I don't think it's a necessity by any means.
All right, so look, first off, I think he's right. It's not a necessity. The question's a little leading because necessity puts him in a spot where if he says yes, then, I didn't expect him to say
then if
yes.
He doesn't get one, then you could swing it back in his face, of course.
You know what's an interesting thing about this offseason with the Phils? This might be the first time in a while. They may have to spend significantly money for a player to play elsewhere. Like, if you want to get rid of Taijuan Walker, you're going to have to eat $40 million over the next 2 years. If you want Castellanos to play elsewhere, you might have to eat $15 to $25 million. I'm just making up numbers amongst his $40 million left. Like, you might have to, pick up money for him to go play for the Pirates. So this is one of those, and obviously that goes without saying on Trey, but I don't think anyone's taking Trey. I mean, they may spend money for someone to play elsewhere, which does make it hard, and that's the first time in a while we've heard Dave Dombrowski reference, hey, we spend a lot of money and John Middleton's really generous with it, but let's not act like it's a never-ending barrel of dough down there.
Can I ask you a question? Because I agree with you, and I don't expect them to sign Juan Soto, but is there anything they can do this offseason other than a move like Juan Soto that will get people really excited to start next season? because we've all said like Sixers-ish type of feel where like regular season, we don't really care as much. We're not going to be as psyched.
Wow.
If they sign Juan Soto, I think people will be.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else they could do? Like, is it, just make a big move like that or else people are going to come in kind of just being blah?
Jimmy, I think therein lies the problem.
Getting a true closer. Like the guy, Devin from...
Devin Williams.
Yeah. Like someone like that, but it's not a Juan Soto. Like it's not someone
Look,
who's going
to... but that's Juan Soto. Like the, yeah.
But
the
I
fact
also
that
don't
that
know if getting another
planted.
Star is going to help because he's right. They do already have stars.
I'm just talking in terms of team excitement. I'm just talking in terms of people being
Juan
excited
Soto
about the team.
Feels like a possibility. That's the only thing that will get me that excited. And it is
I agree, John.
Still a possibility. That is not... like. The door is not shut on that. Like,
no, of course
I still,
not.
I'm so like secretly thrilled, hoping that that happens. Like that is the only thing that will make me
Look,
believe above
all
else.
Let's not forget we don't talk about it a lot, but they offered Yamamoto like $330 million or whatever that last offer.
Yeah,
for the right guy,
and they never spent that money.
They told us
That's
they're
the
going to
exactly,
go
Jeff.
In. All in for the right guy. I do believe that Juan Soto is the right guy.
Well,
Juan Soto's unbelievable.
So
and he's
think
just
about
turned 26,
on our
too.
Team.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Think about that Phillies squad.
No, I know. Look.
That is truly exciting.
James, to answer your question, I think your instincts are generally right because, like, it's one of those things where it's like T.O. and Javon Kearse, right? And then
exactly,
you
coming
just
back,
knew.
And Trot coming back, like that. That coming off the 0-3 disaster against Carolina, that reignited things quickly. But I will tell you this, James, I don't think this is just a prediction for 5 months from now. I don't think when they're about to crank it up, you know, April 1st or thereabout, that people will be as down as you perceive.
That's
no,
possible.
Here's why. The analogy has been made many times between the Phillies and the Sixers and what a regular season could represent. I don't take to that. Think of it this way. In 5 days, how truly excited will the town be when the Sixers play their first game? I think the answer is not that excited. On April 1st next year, I think there's going to be a lot of people jazzed up for the Phils. I really do. Now, I know how we feel now. I get it. But I think it's an – and I'll one more thing, and then we'll get to Elliot. I don't buy – The Phillies have let us down to the same extent the Sixers did. Guys, if you count up the thrilling playoff moments in the last 3 years by the Phillies and the last 7 years by the Sixers, it's like a 10-to-1 ratio. Give me, I'll put it this way. Give me any thrilling moment the 76ers have had in the postseason in the last 7 years.
Tyrese Maxey.
That's one.
Yep, yeah. Embiid scoring 50,
yeah,
I guess.
Embiid.
Okay, and beat 50. I mean, they were down 2-0 in the series, I think, when he did it. But okay, give me another.
I don't have one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but you can't deny that the Phillies are veering into Sixers territory of the outright abject disappointment.
I acknowledge that they are moving in that direction. I push back when people say they're there. I don't think they're there. All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. Big hour here. Elliot now. Pete DeHammer in about 10 minutes, Dick Vermeil in about a half an hour, and Elliot with us every single Friday at this time. Of course, the Eagles and the Giants coming up in 2 days. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing? This
Elliot, is that a reasonable way to look at the Phillies-Sixers thing?
Yeah, so I actually agree with you somewhat. I do think the Phillies, if we can all be honest, have always benefited from the fact that when they come back, it's the return of spring and summer's here, and it's a fun summertime thing to do. Where I think you're going to see the true lack of excitement and difference with this team is going to be if, and I assume they will, make the playoffs next year. Like, the whole Red October thing feels like it kind of died with that loss to the Mets. Like, all the excitement about how great the crowd is, and here we go. That feels like it's gone now. So I think at the regular season, you probably will see more excitement than you do for the Sixers. But the playoffs is where we'll really feel the impact of what they've done.
Yeah, that's interesting. Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles. And I want to start with Jalen Hurts and give you our Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With it being truck season at Armin, available 1.9% financing on all new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. So, Elliot, we started the show today, and I said my thoughts in the game are I'm cautiously optimistic. I think the Eagles should win. Hence the optimism, but obviously the caution as well, based on the fact that they haven't played great this year. Here's the poll question. Tell me how you come down on this one. Do you feel confident?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That Jalen Hurts will play significantly better than Daniel Jones on Sunday. I know based on 2022 and based on contracts, he's supposed to be significantly better. Do you feel confident that he will be?
So I'll base this answer strictly on last week, because I agree, going back to 2022 at this point almost feels slightly irrelevant when discussing the two players. But just strictly on his performance against the Browns, I feel very confident that he will play much better than Daniel Jones on Sunday. I think that with all the, you know, hoopla that happened after the game with Nick Sirianni, Jalen's game was slightly overlooked and how well he played. I know he started 0-for-5, but after that, he truly did improve as that game went on. And as much as everybody was upset about that win and is upset at the coaching staff, I do think it's noteworthy that he didn't even come close to turning the ball over. So I do, look, this team has been inconsistent, right? But I do feel very confident that he is going to play a good game on Sunday.
So what's going on with Jalen Carter's shoulder? Yeah. This is awful news, and it's recent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jalen Carter is obviously the most important player on that defensive line. The Giants' offensive line is really not that good, so it is a chance for this defensive line to potentially, for 2 weeks in a row, have a good output. But, yeah, without Jalen Carter, that'll be really tough. So Jalen Carter did not practice yesterday at all.
He was
a full participant on Wednesday, and generally when you're a full participant one day and don't practice the next day, that is not a great sign. We did see Jalen Carter in the locker room, and, you know, for what it's worth, he didn't seem like he didn't have ice on his shoulder. You know, he seemed to be general, regular Jalen Carter. So I do still think there is a chance he'll play. Today is a big one in terms of what his level of participation is. We'll get a chance to talk to Nick Sirianni. But, yeah, it's definitely concerning, no question about it.
And what about Slay? Can Slay play?
So I do think Darius Slay will play again. He didn't practice yesterday. Was a full participant on Wednesday, got a chance to see him in the locker room yesterday, and he was talking as if he was going to play, and this was prior to practice.
Was that more of like just giving him a day off, like a veteran thing, just because we know you got the knee thing and they're just going to give you a day?
So that's kind of the vibe I get from it. You know, I think obviously with a player that's played as long as he has, I don't know if you need to practice every single day, especially going into a game where he's going to be playing on turf that is really, really hard on players' legs. So I do think there's a good shot he'll be out there.
What about Goddard?
I'm sorry, Goddard. No, Goddard will not play Sunday. I don't expect to see him next week in Cincinnati either. And then we'll see the following week against Jacksonville. But, yeah, Goddard and Mailata won't be out there.
Elliot, I know we're focused on this game for obvious reasons. It's next. But I'll tell you this, man. Goddard, you know, I wonder how much longer they go with him in his career, because he gets injured a lot, man. I mean, he's almost in the Avante Maddox category now, where you just never know when he's going to be healthy.
It's every year.
Well, the flip side of that is he probably won't cost as much on his new contract because he is always hurt, right? So there's always that kind of give and take there with what it'll cost. But I think the general reason Goddard will be gone probably after this year is I don't think Goddard's going to want to keep being here if he's going to be a fourth or fifth option. I agree with you. He does get injured, and it's a problem. But we have seen that in the games where he is healthy and he's not behind A.J., Devontae, Saquon, Jalen running the ball, he does put up big numbers. So my guess is we're looking at Goddard's last, you know, what is it, 12 more games until the season's over. So I don't think he'll be back.
By the way, contest line for Beat the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line. You'll be able to compete in Beat the Hammer, 215-988-1258. Caller 5 for Beat the Hammer in 5 minutes, 215-988-1258. Elliot, I've heard you say that Goddard thing in the past, and I'm curious, is that a guess, or do you have a sense from him personality-wise that he's frustrated? Because I've heard you say that before.
Yeah, that's just the sense I get. Now, I don't think he's frustrated to the point where he's unhappy currently, but let's be honest, like all players, while you want to win, and that is certainly a big part of it, he has the ability to be discussed as one of the best tight ends in the league legitimately. And while he is on the Eagles, that's just not going to happen. Like, we can talk about how good he is. We can talk about how he can be a great receiving threat. Until he gets somewhere where he's not the fourth option, he's never going to truly reach his potential of what he can reach in his career. So, you know, we'll see how the contract works out, but I would be surprised if the Eagles and Goddard are able to reach a middle ground where he feels happy with the number, but also with what his role will be.
All right, Elliot, let's talk about Sirianni. So, two most important things. One, he's got to get in-game decisions better. I mean, just be better with, you know, when to punt, when to kick, when to, you know, do a whatever, fourth down. He's been all over the place this year and generally not good. The other thing is, of course, you want to see the offense hum more, and it's more Kellen Moore's thing, but Nick has a hand in it. But let's talk about the other stuff. So last week before the game, players are saying to him, be you, Nick. You be you. We need you to be you. So he goes and bees.
He told us that.
Well, they told us that also. I mean, it was out there.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Brandon Graham said it. Hurt said it.
We asked that.
All right, so here's the conundrum, Elliot. They want him to be him. He goes and bees him. The town is totally dissatisfied with it. The country is coming down on him.
The organization, it's reported,
is dissatisfied
with Nick being Nick.
Yep. So, Elliot, if you're Nick, what's the approach for Sunday between 1 and 5 o'clock?
I think you will not see the Nick Sirianni that you saw last Sunday. I know the players might have wanted it, but when you consider how that went, I would be surprised. Now, I don't think he is going to be like Andy Reid on the sideline. I think he will always be somewhat emotional. But I think last week he clearly, you know, considering the reaction, went overboard. Now, again, I don't think the players in the locker room cared to the extent everybody else did. In fact, I think they liked it.
Yeah.
So there is a thin line to walk there. But at the end of the day, considering the reaction to it nationally and locally, I don't think you will see him do that. But I'll say this, like, there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans there on Sunday. Like, Eagles fans always travel well there. I know Fans of Philly has a bunch of buses heading down there. I guarantee you, if they win the game, you will see Nick go up to them after the game. Like, no question about it. So I think it'll be something that's definitely what happened last week will be present on the sideline in terms of thinking about it and acting accordingly.
So how worried should we be about the Giants, Elliot? It feels as though on paper we are the significantly better team.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
So I'm guaranteeing they're going to win the game.
You are?
I feel extremely confident
they're going to win. Did it on our podcast.
Love it,
for real. He did
this nonsense.
Elliot and I on the confidence island.
What are you, Joe Namath? What is this? You got a shag rug at home? What is this?
I'm so worried now. Like, it really feels like you might have done us in, man.
The Elliot Sher Parks guarantee?
I rarely, if ever, guarantee a win. But when I do, I'm almost never wrong. And that's
I feel like you guarantee wins
you
a lot.
Guarantee.
But
No, he doesn't, for what it's worth. I'm on the pod with him. This is rare. I'll give him that.
Elliot? Why do you feel that confident?
Because I think the team took a step forward last week. And no one wants to think about it or talk about it because everyone's so mad that Nick brought his kids to the podium and he talked to The team played way better.
Elliot, the people were mad because they were tied at 10 with the Browns in the fourth quarter.
I agree with Ray. I don't get where you think they took this big step, Elliot. I don't get that at all.
All right, well, I mean, I do. And, A, part of the reason that game was close to the field goal block, and, yes, that does matter, right? But, ultimately, the offense and the defense gave you mostly what you wanted to see last week. The defense didn't allow a touchdown. The offense didn't turn the ball over. They had 20 points.
Absolutely. Very true.
They killed the last five minutes of the clock in the fourth quarter. I'm aware.
But it's the Browns.
It's the Giants.
That's fair. That's true.
The Giants don't have great players on offense or defense. They have one.
We were tied with the Browns in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. Yep, that's part of it. I didn't think they're going to blow the Giants out, but they are going to beat the Giants.
Elliot, better chance to win, the Eagles Sunday or the Hammer coming up next? Beat the Hammer.
Oh, well, I mean, that's always the Hammer. Come on. I mean, I'm guaranteeing a win for both you guys.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to come through for you. We'll see if Jalen Hurts does. Thanks, buddy.
All right, talk to you.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, my man. All right, yeah, no, I think the Hammer's got a better shot.
Now you're fine with his guarantee because he guaranteed
yours. Well, it's a different guarantee.
It's an easier one to make.
I would say, but look, I don't guarantee a victory, but I'll dedicate a victory. Who should I dedicate? Seltzer, I haven't dedicated in a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
Who should I dedicate
who
this one
to? Who cares about this victory, Joe?
Who
cares the most, do you think, that would appreciate a dedication? Because it's hard for me to think of who that would be.
All right, I'm going to dedicate. I don't know her name. I don't know this girl's name.
No.
There was a girl. There was a girl, a friend of
you
Amy.
Don't know her.
No. A friend from Amy from Villanova's friend has a daughter.
Oh, great.
And about 2 years ago, I found out that this, like, 10-year-old, maybe she's 12 now.
2 years ago, secret daughter's friend.
She roots hardcore against me.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, hardcore. And then I got on a FaceTime with her one time and. You know, nice guy, and hopefully I turned her around. All right. I dedicate this to all the young children, to that young girl and all the young children in the Delaware Valley. If you follow your parents' advice and root against the Hammer, don't. Root for the Hammer. I dedicate it to the kids. With that.
To the kids.
The kids who are in school and unaware that you're dedicating it to them.
Well, the sick kids at home. And with that, let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This is like Babe Ruth. We're tugging at the heartstrings today,
aren't
you?
This is like when Babe told that kid, I'm going to hit a homer for you.
The sick kids.
Kids, I'm going to hit a homer for you. Homer from the Hammer. All right, Beat the Hammer is brought to us by First Trust Bank, the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region. Founded in South Philadelphia in 1934, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles with a record of 263-42. Beat the Hammer right now. The challenger today is Celso. I don't know why he's challenging me. Celso, good morning, buddy.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I mean, I'm looking forward to a victory, but we'll see. I don't take it for granted. I don't go into the Elliott guarantee category. Celso, why do you, though, challenge me? I mean, like, what's up with that?
Well, I'm sitting in the car with my my wife is in the her last doctor's appointment before we go in for our first kid on Tuesday.
Oh, Tom, that's great!
Congratulations,
good for you, Celso.
It's exciting.
Good for you, buddy. Celso, I also
be a great story to tell your kid when you beat the Hammer.
Celso,
right?
Celso, do you know what you're having?
Yeah, little girl.
Awesome!
Congratulations!
Nothing better, man.
Did you guys pick your name yet?
Yeah, it's Francesca or Frankie.
Beautiful.
Wow, beautiful.
Love it.
Good
That's
for you,
awesome.
Man.
That's awesome. That's
Good
such a great name.
Celso, I dedicate my victory
to your soon-to-be-born
little girl.
No!
All right? I am dedicating it to her. Celso, I'm going to step way down the hallway where I can't hear anything.
Far away, please.
Good luck to you, buddy.
All right.
Yeah, get out of here.
Congratulations again, Celso.
We got some real haughty Hammer action today.
Yeah.
I mean, come
on. And it's gross.
I know. What a beautiful moment. Celso tells us about his lovely girl on the way, and Hammer has to just defile it.
Hey, Joe, have some pep in your step or something.
I'm doing a live radio show here.
He just waved me off dismissively for
Devin,
walking
he's
so
the
slow.
Walker
he is
you're
walking
talking about.
Slower
he
than
is
I've ever
absolutely.
Seen a human walk. It's almost to just.
I would hate to be stuck behind
thumb his
that
nose at.
No, the last break when we went to break and I went to one of those bathrooms, I had to slow my walk down because he was moseying.
Oh, I've had to do that. Yeah.
What is wrong with him? Slower than ever. All right, he's
well,
out of here.
He's safely ensconced.
At a glacial pace, he is safely ensconced.
All right, Celso, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. For Francesca. All right, here we go. Our category for the week, tomorrow night, our comrade, Matvei Mishkov, will make his home debut, his first game as a Flyer at home. We're doing a little Philadelphia rookies trivia. Notable Philadelphia rookies and accomplishments.
Okay.
Ready, roll?
Ready.
All right, here we go. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. You have 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Only six Flyers players have scored 30 or more goals in their rookie season. Name one of them.
Giroux.
Who did Carson Wentz throw his first touchdown pass in his first NFL game against the Browns?
Alshon?
3 Phillies rookies have played shortstop in the World Series. Name 2 of them.
3 Phillies rookies have played shortstop in the World Series. 3 Phillies rookies? For the Phillies?
Yes, for the Phillies, as rookies in the World Series.
Stott. Pass. Come back.
Only 2 Sixers have scored 40 or more points in a game in the rookie season. Name 1 of them.
Maxey.
In 2016, this player became the only Flyers rookie defenseman to ever score more than 15 goals in a season. Name him.
Pass. Come back to the other one.
Okay. You got 1 of the 2.
Time.
Rare time, Celso. We're going to put you on hold. They're not. I'm telling you, they're tough. I think Hammer's going to do okay.
He's actually jogging.
Couple gullible ones.
He's jogging now.
He's got the oddest gait.
What is he do? You're right. It is. He's the backward lean and jog. It almost looked slower than walking.
It's like he leads with his stomach.
I think that was slow. He does lead with the stomach.
He does when he runs too. He always has.
Like, here's what that was. That was I'm a 65-year-old manager, and I'm going out to the mound to change pitchers. And I'm giving.
But you're a 46-year-old man.
I know.
No, I will give you that. That was pretty accurate, Joe.
Right.
That
was
so
like,
why?
It was giving
why
baseball
do you,
manager?
Yeah.
That was
but
like
why
Lasorda.
Do you look
65? Was like Lasorda in 91.
Why do you look 65 at 46?
Benny Hill.
Because I got the.
Rich,
yeah,
I'm
Benny
playing
Hill.
The Benny Hill for you. You don't even notice it.
I do love it.
I do have that belly that I do lead with the belly. It's not good, man.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's
that's boy. Appropriate music right there.
All right, this slapstick. This Celso guy. By the way. Real quick, let me say, Celso is playing for a prize today. And that prize, as I have to quickly rifle through my phone, is a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt. All right, so how did Celso do?
You ready to roll here? You already took so long walking.
Oh, settle down. Yeah. All right, relax. Okay, let's rock and roll.
All right, category for the week.
It's for the kids.
Yes. In honor of our comrade who will make his... We'll play his first game in Philadelphia tomorrow. We're doing Philadelphia rookies. Notable Philadelphia rookies and accomplishments. Ready, roll?
Philadelphia rookies. That is interesting. And by the way, just James, I'm just going to say this. If you have a Reggie White question, you can't act like that
so
wasn't
worry.
His rookie year
don't
when
worry.
The NFL apparently
I wouldn't do
didn't
that because it wasn't. So
well,
I wouldn't do that.
That's a bad rule. Okay. Let's go.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Question number 1. Here we go. Only 6 Flyers players have scored 30 or more goals in their rookie season. Name one of them.
I mean, I got to think Lindros.
Who did Carson Wentz throw his first touchdown pass to in his first NFL game against the Browns?
Jordan Matthews.
3 Phillies rookies have played shortstop in the World Series. Name 2 of them.
Bryson Stott and Avan De Jesus.
Only 2 Sixers have scored 40 or more points in a game in their rookie season. Name 1.
Well, Allen Iverson.
In 2016, this player became the only Flyers rookie defenseman to ever score more than 15 goals in a season. Name him.
It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be Ghost. Yeah. So I got 4.
Easy 4-0 victory.
Okay.
You forgot Kevin Stocker is the other obvious.
Yeah. So Avan De Jesus wasn't a rookie in 83?
No.
Okay. All right.
Second year.
All right. Well, I'll take a 4-0 victory. Good offense, good defense. I mean, that's what we're looking for from the Eagles. That's the equivalent of, like, the Eagles win 40-10 this weekend. And, I mean, I'm giving, you know, because it's hard to shut a team out of football. But, Celso, I shut you out and dominated.
Yes,
that's the hammer.
Yes, sir. Wire-to-wire victory, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
Celso might have had other things on his mind today.
That's a good point, yeah.
Thank you.
It's understandable.
Celso,
congratulations.
Hold
again.
On. I'm not ready to be nice yet. Celso, true or false, your unborn daughter would have gotten the same amount right that you did.
That's true. I did get one short stuff.
Yeah. Well, Celso, so look, you challenged me, you failed. Here, let me say this, Celso. For you, for your wife, for your daughter, you don't have to fail with commercial banking. Challenge your bank to do better for you if they don't. Go to First Trust Bank, where your business will be in great shape. Celso, let me also say this to you, because you're a fine gentleman, and
yes,
you did get a 0, but you're a fine person. We are going to award you the prize, and believe me when I tell you, it's not for you. It is for your daughter and her future.
All right.
She has won a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt.
Seltzer. Way to go, Frankie.
There you go. Seltzer, I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your information.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
all right, all right. And with that, Beat the Hammer, Victory 264, we shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Audience did hold up its end of the bargain, obviously. Seltzer, not good, but the Hammer did his thing. You can't say the Hammer didn't do his thing.
He did like his thing.
In most instances, I would have won here. It, you know, it would have been a tough one for someone to go 5 for 5 to beat me. It's possible.
I got three of them. I got Lindros, Matthews, and AI.
Yeah.
But who was the other flyer?
Which
well,
one?
There's five of them. Five flyers,
yeah,
James.
So, the other flyers who had 30 or more goals in the rookie season, Michael Renberg, Brian Propp, Ron Flockhart, Dave Poulin, and Bill Barber.
Got it.
Yeah. And who was the other?
Dave Bancroft, the 1950 Whiz Kid shortstop, was a rookie. How about that?
I thought Granny Hamner was the shortstop.
Dave Bancroft apparently played shortstop in the World Series. I don't know if he.
I got
you. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
That's a deep.
That's why I didn't say name three of them.
Can you imagine if I came up with that one?
No.
All right. Let's go.
Evil if you come up with that one. I'm worried about it if you come up with that.
Dick Vermeil in 5 minutes. James, give me the MVP, 1950 National League. You played for the Phillies. Who is it?
Was it Sisler?
Nope. Relief pitcher. Who is it?
Oh, Costanti.
Correct. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, you're on WIP.
Morning, team.
Morning.
Hi, Ed.
Well, that's interesting. Morning team. It's like morning, comma, morning team. Hello.
Are you okay?
He's on one. I like it.
I got Victory 264. It was like a double entendre. You know, morning team.
It's not that interesting, though.
Yeah.
It's not, but. Yeah. All right, Ed. What do you got, buddy?
I think you're just feeling super vibrant.
I'm still surprised Devontae Jesus wasn't
today.
A rookie. I thought it was,
it was a solid win. It doesn't mean you got to go crazy.
No, I don't. I'm not going crazy.
You did well.
I am aware.
Your opponent did not.
I am aware of that.
Had a lot going on.
By the way, Ed, I'm going to break this game real simple down for you. Real simple. If Jalen does his job, they win the game because his job is to be much better than Daniel Jones. Go do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the position you want your franchise quarterback to be in. $180 million guaranteed, but don't F up. We win the game. So I think if he plays another clean game, we win. I say 20-10. It's not going to be high scoring. And I just,
20-10 is a dominant win.
I'd like to see more points, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. We score a touchdown in the first quarter on Sunday. How about that?
That sounds like music to my ears. And I do think that's required. I do think that has to happen on Sunday, or there's hell to pay. It's been brought to our attention now. You know that this team is dead set on getting Saquon in the end zone probably multiple times in the first quarter just to offset the bad taste that everyone has in their mouth.
Yeah, and I think it starts with if you win the coin toss, you take the damn ball. None of this defer crap.
I would love that.
Oh. Yeah, just set the tone.
I love that. Great idea. Great idea, Ed.
Look, I'm not opposed to it for the purpose of trying something different, but I will say two things. One, there is obviously evidence empirically that deferring gives you a better chance to win. That is a fact. The other thing I'll say, Ed, is it's not like the Eagles haven't had the ball to start games. When the other team wins
this most recent game, they got the ball to start against
them. I mean, the other team wins the toss, they defer, and then we can't act like the Eagles have never had the ball to start games. I mean, all right, Ed, give me. Oh, what do you got on the Alec Boehm situation?
You know, it's funny with Boehm. Like, his answer at the end of the playoffs was very disappointing. However, I think he, Stott, Marsh are probably three of the most, like, pliable candidates to really adjust their approach. I don't think you can do it with the old dogs like Turner, Castellanos. So I think a lot of that's north of the shoulders. But, you know, he's young enough. He's not really this whole see the ball, hit the ball thing. Like, I think that was just kind of like a – He's pissed that he lost.
Maybe.
And he reacted the wrong way. But I'm mildly confident that he'll turn it around.
I am, too. I'm more than mildly. I think he's a good baseball player. Ed, give me what's irritating.
In every sense of the word, a wedgie.
Oh, man. You're right. As long as you're the
It's a lot more than irritating.
Person receiving
it. I don't know that irritating is the right word.
Yeah, it's not really something that is like a constant.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen all
annoyance.
The time.
Well, I would say the physicality is more than irritating, but the fact that the person is choosing to do it to you is irritating.
No, hold on. Irritating.
Oh, does he mean like an unintentional?
Oh, I
wedgie.
Thought he meant, yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.